You are listening to FBIL Radio. Go ahead.
FBIL Radio.
Including our intelligence agencies, poses the most serious of dangers because our country is a battlefield.
We are at DEFCON 1.
This is FBIL Radio. Thanks to everybody for listening. So, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, you know, it's been a month since we last taped the show, and do I remember the name I used to use for this?
I remember someone calling us and complaining that you copied the name.
You see it. Malice Factor.
Malice Factor. That's right. You're Malice Factor, and I'm Mr. White.
Mr. White. Okay, good.
So, this is episode 4, I think. It's July 31st.
Yeah, it's been more than a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah, we took a little break there.
A little sabbatical from the madness.
Yeah, even though we only did 3 episodes, but that was sort of the idea. So the first 3 were going to be a trial run, so...
That was the prequel trilogy. Now the real trilogy begins.
Yeah, we decided to switch up the format a little bit, a little bit looser, not such a rigid format, and we started putting the show out there, advertising it and stuff like that. Redesigned the website a little bit, threw the RSS feed up. Made some new banner ads. Got a couple more coming down the line this week.
Mr. White is using the editorial we. I have had nothing to do with this at all. I was accosted in Operation Sight Down about.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You spent a couple nights in jail there, huh?
Yeah. No charges were made, but I'm not allowed to use a computer anymore, man. Like, I just have to sit there with my computer unplugged, wearing my sunglasses in the dark. And fight over turf.
That damn Operation Sight Down. Yeah. You know. And they're actually going after your grandmother, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
You didn't do anything wrong, but they came in and saw, a mid-20s man sitting there at a computer and didn't expect your little old grandmother to illegally downloading wares and stuff,
Yeah, imagine if I was sitting in the car with a laptop parked outside somebody's house.
That's some bullshit right there, man.
I would have been arrested, and I wouldn't even be doing the show anymore, man.
That's some bullshit. Just picking up wireless networks and getting arrested, Unbelievable. Unbelievable. These lawmakers, man.
Yeah, these lawmakers. Well, in all seriousness, we just decided to take some time off from the show and see if we wanted to do it anymore. And I guess since we're doing episode 4, we want to do it still. And thanks to everybody who listened, like Mr. White said, and we're going to keep on doing this until we decide differently, or the government decides differently for us, which is always possible in our line of work.
Yeah, we could be shut down, you know, which would be a bummer. It'd also be kind of cool in one way. But, so we decided to do a little bit of a looser format. You know, before we were, you know, deciding what we were going to talk about and studying it up. And, you know, we both kind of felt that we were just presenting things instead of having a normal conversation between the two of us. So
exactly, which is really the goal we want to begin with. Besides, there are many, many... Well, what's that word that they use? Is it podcast?
Oh, don't. My ears are burning.
Blog or... You have more than enough sources of information that people discussing shit that happens all the time, and you guys don't really need that. So, we're going to not do that anymore.
No, still talk about technology, the feds, you know, porn, everything else in between.
Porn, you know. Yeah, porn and pop culture, maybe.
No pop culture. All right. Yeah, laws, our rights, but mainly exploring technology, you know. I guess we're sort of in the vein of, dare I say it?
And how to use said technology to distribute pornography on the internet.
The global interweb, yeah. So, yeah, no, I mean, we're, you know, still mostly a technology show. We'll always be that way, so... But now we're here for good, and try and provide you with content every week, every other week, which is the format that we use. So,
well, anyway, what was up with the intro to the beginning of the show, man?
Oh yeah, that was music from Saturn, you know.
Yeah, we're gonna get charged with pirating Santurian music.
Yeah,
right.
That. There's going to be a lawyer out there that is going to represent the planet Saturn and say that we illegally distributed Saturn's copyrighted material, trying to make a buck out of it. Stupid lawyer bastard. But, no, that's from the Cassini probe, right? Cassini probe.
I believe that.
And
what it is.
That sound, eerie as it may be, and perfect for an alien movie... You know, which is the funniest part about it, and has kept me awake at night ever since I listened to it. But, yeah, that was recorded by the Cassini probe flying around during what was some kind of atmospheric anomaly similar to our northern lights that was going around on the planet at the time that the audio was recorded. So that's what they're saying it's tied to. And... You know, as loud as that is, I mean, I don't know how good the microphone is on the Cassini probe, but you got to figure it's, you know, not just hovering, you know, 300 feet above the surface of Saturn. It's pretty far out there, and it's picking that stuff up fairly loud. I mean, that's, you know, I would imagine that if you know, you're sitting in England, let's say, that if that sound was originating from, say, the middle of the United States, being in England, you'd be able to hear it. I mean, that's just my guess.
Be that as it may, you mentioned before it sounded like it'd be perfect backdrop sound effects or music for old 1950s sci-fi flick, and maybe that's what the NASA engineers did.
Could be.
What are they doing anyway?
Maybe they're just trying to stir up some funding, saying they're finding stuff, you know?
They were like, you know, we got Adobe Edition 1.5 on this box. you might fuck with the data stream that's coming back from the Cassini probe, get some cheap publicity, dude.
Yeah, well, more power to them. I think the more money they get, the better off everyone is.
Yeah.
I'm all for supporting them, even though they spend it horribly. And the XPRIZE has demonstrated you can actually hit, you know, weightlessness for far cheaper than they ever have. So, But, you know, hopefully they'll tighten that up in this way, you know, it means their dials will go farther, you know.
Well, who is the F-Bill promo woman?
Oh, that was a lady who was nice enough to do a promo for us. She works for IPRelay.com, that phone service for deaf people, which is a really great service. But while we were testing it out, you know, we had her give us a little shout out there. So, you know, thanks to her, IP Relay woman, operator, much appreciated intro for us. So, and then our buddy George is back too for the intro again. Good old George Bush.
I had to think who you were talking about there for a second.
Yeah, you forgot he was on the intro, huh?
Yeah, I did too. A month is a long time for people with attention disorders like me, you know? We grew up playing video games, man.
So, yeah, it's been a while, but we're back in action. So, anyway, so you've been messing around with anything cool lately or what?
No, man.
I found myself at Sears today.
You know something? I went to Sears the other day.
Did you?
I haven't been in that store in 20 years.
Yeah, neither
have
I.
And that store is still fucking ghetto.
Yeah, that one near us there is pretty ghetto. It's bad when the store has a bus stop, you know. That's when you know it's a bad thing. But I was having fun fucking around with the wedding registry. It was a little kiosk they had set up there, and the cool part about it was...
Don't tell me you owned their fucking network by fucking with their wedding registry, man.
No, I only had like a minute by the time the girlfriend came over and asked me what the fuck I'm doing and called me a dork and said, let's go. But the cool part about it was their kiosk setup was made of like this semi-clear plastic, so you can see into the back of it, and they had a Dell desktop machine sitting there that was sitting up on an angle, and they weren't using the wireless. It was wired. There was an Ethernet cable coming out of it, and the screen was built into the kiosk. The keyboard was there, and they were using an HP LaserJet printer to print out stuff.
Oh, that's a sweet case mod.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I hopped on there and, you know, tried hitting Control-Alt-Delete and Alt-Tab and all the usual Windows stuff, and, you know, didn't get too far. There was the screen, you know, the web screen going that was showing the intranet that was there, which is what it was labeled. It was intranet, which was interesting. And the Alt-Tab came up with a DOS prompt for running a VB script file, and I closed that out, but it had no effect on the other thing, and I couldn't get out of the intranet. I mean, Control-Alt-Delete and all that stuff, it didn't work. The F keys, you know, it wasn't touchscreen. You know, a lot of times you can hit like the four corners of the touchscreen and stuff and get a prompt or something like that, but it wasn't a touchscreen. So I started looking up people who were getting married and shit, you know, same last name as me, and having fun with that, you know.
Did they have all their private information available? And you wonder how it happens. 60 seconds on a prompt, right?
That's a start of an identity theft if I've ever seen one. Yeah.
Not that Mr. White or myself condone such things.
No, I just don't condone people using those, you know.
Yes, it's wedding registries are evil. Don't use them.
Yeah, no, it's that type of setup. You know, I'm sure it can get owned. Well,
speaking of exploits, don't we have more on our British friend?
Oh yeah. You want to get into that already?
Let's get into that.
All right. Yeah. Last episode, I think it was EP3. We reported or discussed, I should say, because we actually don't do any real reporting. But a gentleman named Gary McKinnon, who was arrested, facing extradition to the United States from Britain for what's been called the biggest government hack of all time. Sure, he's been all over the news. He was breaking into these computers to attempt to find evidence of UFOs.
Also copy MP3s of that clip
of Saturn, yeah, which is proof of UFOs.
Yeah.
So, he did an interview with the BBC, and so we're going to discuss that and play a couple clips, but first we're going to discuss all the trouble I went through to get this fucking interview.
Yeah, let's hear it. This has been what I've been waiting to hear.
Two words, or maybe one. I don't know how they spell it. Real player. Real media. The BBC uses real media. I fucking hate real media. It's been 3 years. I've got it counting on the wall. I've got it. I tick off every day. I don't have to use real media. And they use real media, so I had to go ahead and download it. It's been 2-3 years since I had to do that to play something. I mean, I usually avoid real media like the plague, and I really wanted to hear this Gary McKinnon interview, so I bit the bullet or whatever you want to call it and downloaded it, and let me tell you, that was a motherfucker.
So what did it put you through, man? I mean, how was the download experience? Did it interface nicely with your version of XP, man?
Yeah, I don't think so. It actually hasn't had any, didn't have any installing flaws, even though I got advertising during the install, which I fucking hate. Mm. It's like, you should want people, don't force advertisements to upgrade and stuff. Make people want to use your format, and that'll boost sales. And I don't think that's something real media has ever really understood. I mean,
does anyone ever buy real media players? Or
I don't know how that place is still in business. I don't know why the BBC is using that. I mean, it's, come on. This day and age, real media should be dead. They should die.
I thought they did die 5 years ago.
Yeah, and they've somehow made a little player on. I don't know. It's version 112 by now. I mean, it's actually, I still got it right here on this laptop. Let me see if I can look. I don't even know. I hate real media, and this is the long and short of it. It's just awful. Just awful. Still is. It hasn't gotten any better. Now, what I did was, for the benefit of everyone who listens to the show and then wants to hear the interview, or for people that, you know, saw this out there on the internet last week, wanted to listen to it but didn't want to download Real Player, what I did is I downloaded Real Player, I ran it through our recording setup, and recorded the entire interview as an MP3, which we're going to post up on the website. So we're going to play some clips for you and discuss it, but the whole interview will be able to be downloaded off our website in MP3 format, so you don't have to deal with real media. But the bitch of it is I had to restart the recording like 10 times. First I tried to get some software to convert from real media to MP3, anything else, for Christ's sake, a goddamn WAV file. I don't care. Anything but real media. And what it was the file I downloaded off of the BBC was a stream file. So what it does is you open it up, and it connects to a stream and streams the audio to you. So I don't even know why I had to download this file off the BBC, or if it's, you know, some type of pseudo bookmark. What the hell the purpose of it? I don't know, because I don't use real media, so I don't really care. But the stream crapped out on me like 10 times, okay? And it was weird because it would stop playing, okay? And it'd say waiting to queue up or whatever. And there was one point where I let it sit there for 5 minutes, and then I clicked on the file, the scroll bar for placement, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To bump
about.
It forward. I just clicked on a random spot forward, like a few minutes forward in the interview, and it started in like 2 seconds. So I'm like, what the hell? You know, there was no, when it was screwing up, there was no logic to it. The next thing is I don't know if this is real media. You know, these problems I'm talking about, they could be from the BBC servers. They could be from the internet connection from here to England, where the servers are sitting, I'm sure. I mean, there's a whole you know, I like to say fuck real media. I'm still going to say it anyway. But it might not be entirely real media's software's fault. But when I was recording when I was recording the interview, the quality was going in and out. So
the quality is always shitty.
If you download our MP3 of it and the quality goes in and out, it's not really our fault. So you could just send all your hate mail to Real Media. I'm sure you could find an email address on their website. But all right, so let's talk about
this. Heart-rending story, by the way. I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
Are you?
No.
All right. So, basically, this guy, Gary McKinnon. Now, the interesting thing from listening to the interview is that he was actually arrested in 2002. From the news reports we were reading, it sounded like he was arrested like 2 weeks ago.
Well, weren't the news reports all over the place anyway when we were doing it?
Yeah, different numbers.
None of the facts were
really
clear.
Yeah, so right now, as of this interview, he's facing extradition back here to the U.S. He's facing 7 counts, 10 years apiece, so 70 years in jail. And this was from breaking into government computers and trying to get information on UFOs. So let's play the first clip here and talk about it. Turn the mixer up. And
I'm really not sure. In their terms, if you believe what they say, you would think I damaged every network I was on. But because of my intents and purposes, it was good for me to maintain a quiet presence on these systems. And they actually define the word damage in their sort of cyber terrorism laws to merely mean the rebuilding of the machine that's necessary once you realize that someone's gained unauthorized access.
So that was him explaining the definition of damage set by the U.S. government. So pretty much what he's saying there is that in all the charges he has, I mean, they're claiming $1 million worth of damages, you know, thousands of computers or whatever, that if he gained access to a network that supposedly they'd have to rip the whole thing apart, build it up fresh again, and charge him with damages for that, which is interesting. And I wanted to point that out because anyone who thinks that hopping on a computer or whatever isn't that bad in the eyes of the law, I mean, all he did was commit unauthorized access. He did no malicious acts whatsoever. He wasn't dropping viruses. He wasn't erasing files. He didn't want to be found. And eventually he was found. Pretty much, he states in an interview, because he got addicted to hacking into the systems. I mean, he was out of a job. His girlfriend was breaking up with him. I mean, he was just sitting there all day hacking these military computers and couldn't stop, and almost subconsciously wanted to get caught because he's leaving notes to administrators. He's telling them how he got in. I mean, he's doing all this stuff and not really covering his tracks. And he said in an interview, he got to the point where he wasn't even going through proxy servers and bouncing his connection around. He was just going straight from his home computer right to the, you know, the military computers, which is
asking to get caught.
Yeah, I mean, that's begging for it. I mean, you know, but take a little drink there. Yeah, so it's an interesting definition of damage, that if just you tapping in and making a connection to that computer, you know, damages are applied because they pretty much have to replace it.
Now, it's been a while since I've read through any company's internet policies section, especially when it comes to malicious use of company property, but I believe that many places the standard practice is to have any unauthorized access at all warrant a full security breach definition, right?
Yeah.
By network security administrators. Was that something that evolved before or after the cyber terrorism laws, or maybe the cyber terrorism laws were crafted from that wording on network security practices?
It's from the beginning of computer crimes to this point, the whole definition by the law is just shady. Hmm. I mean, we know, like, you know, companies come out and claim, you know, ridiculous amounts of damages and stuff like that, and that's kind of what, you know, I think the government is doing with this guy, where it's, you know, they say, well, we've got him gaining access to this computer. This computer is on this subnet of our network with 200 other servers or whatever. Now we have to replace all that stuff because that network was compromised. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when it comes to the government, I mean, he's up against the feds. He's not just up against a company, you know, with federal prosecutors or something like that. I mean, this is the, you know, he went into the government, and which is a bad move. I mean, if you get caught, it's, you know, Guantanamo Bay for your ass for that kind of stuff. Seriously, I mean,
Gitmo.
If I were him right now, I'd be trying to do as many public interviews as I could and everything else, so everyone knows that I'm eventually going to get extradited, I'm going to get sentenced, and so my ass just doesn't disappear, you know? Because it's guys like this that, I mean, the government's going to want to just make disappear somewhere. I mean, it's bad enough that he's pretty much facing 70 years. He's going to get it. He admitted to it. You know, he had nothing to hide. He stated in the interview that while he was doing it, he's like, I didn't think it'd be a big deal if I get caught, because in Britain, they it's only, he's like, a couple months community service for unauthorized access. It's like, as long as you don't damage anything, that's all it is. So that's all he was expecting to get if he got caught. He wasn't expecting to face extradition and everything else. And he said that when he was first arrested, you know, he got interrogated for a couple of days, and the cop said, yeah, you're going to get, you know, probably 6 months community service picking up trash, and that'll be the end of it. And then a couple of English prosecutors flew over the United States, sat down for some meetings with the government here, and flew back, and it was a different story from that point forward.
Well, surprise.
But it's interesting, because from all news articles, it sounded like it just happened. From the interview, you know, he says he was arrested in 2002. So
maybe it took that long to work itself down the pipes, or, well, what other clips you got?
Oh, yeah. This is him talking about the admin passwords they got on these government servers.
I did a lot of research on the web and found out that a lot of the military use Windows. And having realized this, I assumed that it would probably be quite an easy hack if they haven't secured it properly. And it was even easier than I first thought. I downloaded lots of commercially available programs, and if you scan a large network, you find that eventually there's a few hundred machines with blank administrator-level passwords.
What?
Blank administrator passwords.
Now, we railed
security
about this
at its finest
in the previous show. What episode was that? Was it episode 2 or maybe even episode 1? About the unsecure networks. Government networks, seven of eight or seven of nine.
Oh, the
nine,
wireless ones?
The
that might
games.
Have been the first episode.
Yeah. I thought we had talked something about it. Be that as it may, this dude owned a military network on account of blank administrative passwords.
Yep.
That doesn't really make for an exciting movie, does it, man?
No. Blank administrative passwords. I mean, you know, he's saying on a scan he's coming up with a couple hundred. You know, I mean, all those computers, I mean, the government has a lot of computers, but if you have one computer that's on a network, from that computer, I mean, you know as well as I do, and most of our listeners probably do, is that, you know, computers, networks, they work on trust levels, permissions. So if you get into one computer,
mm-hmm.
Okay, even if that computer is useless, it has associated trust levels on a network with other computers. And that's how, like, a lot of these guys get in. I'm sure the computers where he found the good shit on didn't have blank administrator passwords.
Oh, I'm sure.
But once he gains access to one of those computers that does, he's got to explore the relationships it has. And it didn't take him, you know, 20 minutes. I mean, the U.S. government, what it said is, like, every branch in the military, the Pentagon, I mean, he was on, like, you know, all these computer systems. He spent years doing this. Is that he's just going through and trying them. But in a single scan to pull up 200 computers with admin passwords, shit, man. That's like, you know.
Owned.
Yeah. That's unreal. Unreal. All right. He was looking for evidence of UFOs, and this clip he talks about what he found.
Very circumstantial. I found Excel spreadsheets containing fleet-to-fleet and ship-to-ship transfers of materials and personnel. The heading at the top of the personnel sheets was non-terrestrial officers, a phrase which you can't find anywhere in any military documentation or anything on the web or any of their publications. These ships listed on the fleet-to-fleet and ship-to-ship transfers, none of the names matched U.S. Navy ship. Anything sort of common or known. So that, coupled with the photographs and the fact that the photographs were in the place that the expert testimony witness said they would be, led me to believe that, yeah, I was on to a good thing then.
Non-terrestrial officers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And he said the ships don't match any ships anywhere, or, you know, in the Navy or anything like that. I mean, yeah, he was onto stuff. I'm sure he was. You know, I'm sure he saw shit he shouldn't have been seeing. That's definite. You know, whether it's proof of UFOs, I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, they could be, you know, secret submarines floating around. I mean, they could be
exactly.
Shit. You know, they could be anything. But it was just interesting to point that out. And the last clip we got here is about a special deal the U.S. government offered him.
But they initially offered me a deal back in 2002, and it was no deal at all, a deal being something which two parties negotiate and arrive at an agreement about. They said no guarantees or promises, but if you walk over and don't force us to go through the extradition process, we may give you only 3 or 4 years inside, but with no right of appeal and no right of public comment, so a secret trial that I'm not allowed to speak about, and nothing in writing. So I said no, obviously.
A secret trial. Got offered a deal, spent 3 or 4 years in jail, but secret trial, no right to appeal, and no right to public statements about anything regarding it.
Well, I'm sure if he had taken that, his ass would have gotten shanked.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, you know, if you're looking at, if they're like, just come over, we'll give you 3 to 4. But you can't say anything. Everything's got to be secret. Or
yeah, he would have been
shanked. You're gonna face 70, dude. Guantanamo Bay, man. you're out there in the middle of, you know, they put you in a prison and the paperwork gets switched and you're on death row for murder instead of 3 to 4 years for.
Like I said, he would have gotten shanked. You know, he would have disappeared given the nature of. His grievous security breach.
Yeah. You know, they could have done some shady stuff like, you know, whispered in a couple prison guards' ears or something that he was a, you know, child molester or something like that, and prisoners would have taken care of him. There's no way, man. If I was that guy, would I ever trust the government giving me a secret trial without...
Any government.
Yeah, any government. There's no way.
That's yeah, like, he was smart about that.
Yeah, to me that's like signing your... I'd rather take the 70 years. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you're going to get shanked, but...
You could debate it. I mean...
Guys like us would be able to talk about it.
Yeah, you're looking at 70 years. I mean, maybe you can, you know, get paroled when you're 60, 70 years old, you know. But in that case, you know, messing with the government, it'll probably be stamped on your paperwork. No chance of parole ever. But, you know, or take your chance with the 3 to 4 year secret deal and... You know, possibly spend 70 years or... I mean, that's why you could debate it, but... I don't know.
Well, we'll keep following the story with interest. Well, it's 2005 now, so by the time there's a new article, it'll probably be, what,
2009? Yeah.
Man will be long dead by then anyway.
Unbelievable.
Or in prison, one or the other, which is the same thing, I would say, in this case.
Yeah, it's... It's a pretty crazy deal. So, what else was on the table for tonight? Oh, that will be up for download off our website. You'll see a link to it on there. So, you can find that pretty easily if you want to listen to the whole thing. It's worth it. Definitely worth it. Even having to deal with real media. So, but you won't have to. So download it and give it a listen.
Well, you know, since the man loved UFOs, let's talk about James Doohan real briefly.
Who the fuck is James Doohan?
Scotty, man. What type of geek are you? Come on.
Not
you
know. Star Trek geek, man.
Yeah,
I don't do Star Trek.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
No, he really doesn't. yeah, he died on July 20th at the age of 85.
I heard that.
I think he had Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. He was just a classy guy all around, and you'll hear lots of stories about him everywhere, you know, going to the Trekkie conventions and being one of the only old-school Star Trek actors who really embraced, you know, his on-screen persona, because with the exception of Patrick Stewart, who you might know as Captain Picard, the other actors, exactly, Leonard Nimoy, who the fuck is that? If I say Mr. Spock, then you know who it is.
Well, I knew who Nimoy was.
Well, yeah.
Nimrod, how do you pronounce his name? I don't know.
Yeah, Nimrod, exactly.
I'm sorry to you Trekkies, I just never understood it.
Nor do I, but he was he was a classy guy, and sorry to see him go. Thanks, and so long for all the fish, Scotty.
Alright, what else, man? What else has been going down, huh?
Man, you know...
What else is good in the hood?
Well, you know, man, for the last month or so, I've been following the hot coffee controversy.
GTA.
Yeah, GTA, and this really...
My favorite pastime.
You haven't played that game in like 5 months.
It's been a minute.
Well, I got a little timeline here. The first, I guess you could call it mass media attention that was paid to the so-called hot coffee mod, or I guess it's not really a mod, it's a sex minigame in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which was left in the code when the game was pressed and sent out, and it's in all, well, it used to be in all commercial versions of Grand Theft Auto. It could be unlocked using a Pro Action Replay or Game Shark codes for the PlayStation 2.
Have you played this?
I haven't actually played the minigame.
We need to check out the minigame.
Well, you know, I really don't feel like buying a Pro Action Replay or a Game Shark, but if you want to...
How much those things run?
I have no idea. But back when I used to buy those things, they were like $50. I don't think it's worth it for $50, man.
Nah, probably not. Anybody got any footage of that?
There is footage of it.
Oh, is there?
Oh, excuse me. What it used to be, until the controversy, anyway.
Well, anybody got that, send me a link to it or email it to us or you something. We'll shout you out in the show. I just want to check out and see how bad it really is, man.
It's unfinished code, you know. It probably wasn't even intended to remain in the game.
A couple programmers late at night with pepperoni pizza.
Exactly. From what I've heard of it, that's really what it sounds like. Right. The mod for the PC version I think is more explicit. Yeah. But that's a mod, so who gives a fuck, you know? Yeah. But be that as it may, On June 10th, GameSpot ran a rumor control session, which I think they do that every Friday, where they take various rumors in the gaming industry and either debunk them or validate them, depending on what they hear. And lo and behold, this sex minigame thing was reported on several Grand Theft Auto fan sites. And they didn't call it bogus or not bogus, which is how they... You know,
yeah.
Rate the stories. It seemed whatever, you know, just something that's coming down the pipes. Who cares? A month later, there's a California assemblyman. I believe his name is Leland Yee, who is outspoken critic of video game violence and violence in the media and the effect it has on children, and that one of those kind of guys. He blasted the ESRB, which rates video games for the sex mod and the sex minigame in Grand Theft Auto, because he has been pushing for Grand Theft Auto with or without the sex game to be rated as adults only.
Yeah.
And the thing about that rating,
it doesn't matter. Well, it's not going to matter.
Well, listen, the thing is, if a game gets an AO rating, an adults only rating, none of the major retailers will sell that game. That's the difference between an M rating, a mature rating, and an adults only rating, you know. So in effect, really no one would have been selling that game. To get an AO rating if you publish a video game is...
Well, are you saying no one will carry it, like Electronics Boutique won't carry it? Or
Walmart, Target, all the major retailers.
But the major game retailers will still carry it.
I don't even know if they would, you know, but be that
so,
as it
so
may.
So what you're telling me is if they got an adults-only rating,
that's
the only place you're going to be able to buy it is directly from Rockstar, like on their own website or something?
Whoever distributes it. But the AO rating, as far as I know, is... In effect, your game is getting blacklisted from appearing in any major retail chains.
They probably will be blacklisted after this.
Well, listen, that was on July 8th, the ESRB launched an investigation into the sex minigame, okay? Fucking Hillary Clinton got into the fucking fray a week later, you know, denouncing the ESRB for... this lapse and calling
that's,
for
that's
a,
the point where it hits witch hunt.
Oh yeah, and she called for a FTC probe, Federal Trade Commission probe, into Rockstar Games and Take-Two Interactive's advertising practices and how they got around the rating system. So she called. Okay, that was the middle of July. The day after Clinton went out and made that statement, GameSpot editors confirmed that the PS2 version of San Andreas had the sex minigame. One day used the Pro Action Replay codes that were available anywhere. Just 5 days after that, the ESRB re-rated San Andreas to adults only. So
right now officially is adults only.
That's
then.
Right. So Take-Two stopped publishing Grand Theft Auto. All the major retailers pulled it off the shelves. As far as I know, when I say major retailers, I mean Walmart, Target, yeah. Best Buy.
I wonder if you can get it at Electronics Boutique.
Check it out, man.
I'm going to check it out right now. Keep talking about it.
That was the 20th. And July 25th, here's the U.S. House of Representatives voted 355-21 to support the FTC probe of Take-Two Interactive. And then just 2 days after that, Take-Two said that indeed it was the subject of FTC investigation, and on top of that, it had been sued in civil court.
And sued actually, by who?
I actually have that news story right here.
In civil court?
In civil court. There. This is from GameSpot, actually. Take-Two is facing legal trouble of another kind in civil court. According to the AP, a lawsuit was filed against the publisher in the Southern District of New York. Plaintiff Florence Cohen claims she was damaged after learning of the sex minigame hidden in San Andreas, as she had bought what she thought was an M for Mature rated game for her grandson.
What?
Her complaint seeks class action status for purchasers of San Andreas and relies on four causes of action.
Now that's just one fucking lady just hunting for anything she can make a goddamn lawsuit out of.
Well, here
that's the reason the world's going to hell.
here's the complaint. It accuses Take-Two of engaging in consumer deception, false advertising, common law fraud, and unjust enrichment. Damages are sought in excess of $5 million.
You know, at this point, I seriously feel bad for Rockstar and Take-Two.
You know, I mean, it's some things that happen like this are beyond the actual publisher's control. As you were saying before, with decoders late at night and with slides.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like, first of all, I can't find it at ebgames.com. Hmm. It's gone. Even though, right here, I mean, there's something that's adults only. But, you know, it just comes from, the whole thing is sad, really. I mean, it really is.
You know, it's sad that the U.S. Congress has the time in light of everything.
Well, you know, it's the same thing as the witch hunt for Howard Stern. It's the same thing. It's just that, you know, America lightened up, you know, with sex and with violence in movies and saying bitch on, you know, primetime TV and stuff like that. And some ugly dude who I wish I never saw on TV showed his ass on NYPD Blue. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, they did that, and now it's starting to get roped back in. And I don't know why, but started with the FCC thing, and now this is just another witch hunt. And the only reason Hillary Clinton cares is because she knows she could pull Southern conservative votes, you know, with her New York liberal ass from doing this. I mean, being a Democrat, being in New York, you have people in Georgia, Republicans in Georgia going, fuck you, I'd never vote for you for president. You know, and this is the perfect stunt to pull in those conservative votes.
Well, here,
fuck you for witch hunting.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton, fuck you.
Well, listen, she went as far as to publicly equate violent games with cigarettes and alcohol as a hazard to America's youth.
Yeah.
Rockstar Games and the Take-Two subsidiary that develops and publishes San Andreas issued a carefully worded statement in reference to the quote-unquote mod. You like this, Mr. White. So far, we have learned that the hot coffee modification is the work of a determined group of hackers who have gone to significant trouble to alter scenes of the official version of the game.
See, that's bullshit, too. I'm not going to go on a rant about that. Emmanuel Goldstein and the Klan did on Off the Hook, but, you know, I think it was last week or the week before they talked about it. And,
yeah.
You know, complete misuse of the term hacker. And
exactly.
I think Emmanuel was especially pissed because supposedly he's in that game somewhere, and him being a true hacker, you know, he...
Maybe he's the one who did the mod, dude.
Yeah, when the thing is that is total
misusage of the word.
Idiot journalism, because if you type in a cheat code, it's not a hack. I'm sorry. It's not a hack. I mean, not. Some dude wasn't sitting there with a, you know, PS2 dev kit and like a Grand Theft Auto disc and somehow, you know, plugged in some code in the thing and then put it on the shelves of all major retailers, his own box version of the game. I mean, you know, when it's, you know,
Rockstar has held from the beginning that the mod, especially for the PC version, is the work of a community of hackers.
Yeah, that's
which if you're in the mod community, I'm sure that has to, you know, ruffle your feathers a little bit.
Yeah, it. You know, I mean, game modding is an important part of the mod, not the mod industry, the game industry.
Yeah, it
is. You know, these days, I mean, with games like Quake and stuff like that, I mean, modding is a huge part of it. Making your own maps, I mean, and it should be, you know? So it's like, you can't go out and slam those guys, and you can't just blame it on hackers and hope to get away with it. And
yeah, it was their own in-house people. That much is...
This is becoming a much bigger deal than it needs to. And I think it's all just part of, you know, the witch hunting that says, you know, we're doing stuff and giving bad images to our kids. And
sure, you know, and video games have been the target of that for 12, 15 years. I'm not too up on my gaming
history.
Yeah, but
this has gotten bad, though.
Oh, yeah, you know, and In fact, the SRB came around over Mortal Kombat, and I'm sure you remember that. Yep. I know I do.
Oh my God! What are those red lines on the screen? Is that fake blood?
Genesis and its clunky blood. Well, even the arcade version, you know, and yeah. Joe Lieberman, our buddy Joe, jumped on that all those years ago. And actually, I believe he's teaming up with Hillary this time around.
Probably, because they're both Democrats, right?
Well, yeah. And
he'll try and be her vice president, maybe. Is that what that is? Kissing the ass to Hillary there? since he was on a losing ticket once around already. But,
yeah,
man, it's you know, it steams me, because this is really just, you know, a couple people like that woman filed lawsuit. It's like, don't you understand? You were fucking it up for so many other people.
Sure.
You know, and that there's something that I wanted to bring up, you know, which relates to this, I think pretty well, is last week or something like that, there was news articles that New Jersey is going for a smoking ban in cars. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, anyone driving an automobile, not allowed to smoke a cigarette, a pipe, or a cigar.
Why?
I don't know. They're claiming that, the articles I read were saying that they're claiming it's driving hazards, it's this and that.
Oh, but I could talk on my cell phone in Jersey. No. Is it true you can't take left turns in that state?
Don't get me on a rant about New Jersey, man. But, yeah, you know, this whole thing, I mean, there's a lot of people that are up in arms about it. And let me just get this out there. I do smoke. You are a recovering smoker.
A recovering smoker. Yeah. I quit smoking about a year ago.
Yeah. And this has nothing to do with the fact that you can't smoke in a car, because already in the state we live in, I can't smoke in any public building, and there's some dive bar around the corner that, you know, you could still smoke in, because they pretty much say, fuck the police. But other than that, no place else in the state that we live in can you smoke in bars or restaurants or anything like that, and which is, you know, pretty much going to end up happening with every state. But,
sure,
you know, saying you can't smoke in a car is a whole nother level. I had a problem with the building smoking ban here and in Ireland and stuff like that, and not from the angle of that I'm a smoker, but because frankly, even though I'm a smoker sitting in a restaurant and stuff, I still don't want four people in the booth next to me lighting up while I'm trying to eat my food. You know, is that, to me, the problem with me was is if, say, you own a bar, okay, and no matter the size of the bar or whatever, you own it. Well, you own that land. You own that building. It is your business. And here the government is telling you what you can or cannot do on your own land. Now, it's not your house, but it's still your own building. And they are telling you that it is, in fact, illegal for you to smoke a cigarette in your own property. And that is ridiculous. Nobody saw it from that angle.
Hey, you know? Plenty of people saw it from that angle.
I don't know.
But smokers are second-class citizens in the United
States
of America.
They are second-class citizens. But, you know, it's people don't think about that. Now, it's like you're saying, now, in the state we live in, again, it's been passed and pretty soon going to come down the pipe that you can't use a cell phone in a car. Now, New Jersey is saying that they don't want anybody smoking in cars. I mean, again, car is your own property, okay? The fact of the matter is, by law, if you're sitting in your car, even with the windows open, and someone who is uninvited sticks their arm past the threshold of your window, that's breaking and entering.
Well,
because it is your own property.
What about why smoking? What about drinking and eating while driving?
Yeah.
I mean, well, Jersey drivers, they have some stress taken off them. They're not allowed to pump their own gas in Jersey, right?
Yeah, that's, yeah, they can't pump their own gas.
And they can't take left turns.
I mean, it just comes down to, is the point of bringing this up is, a lot of people don't realize the bigger picture, I think. That there's a whole bunch of people going, well, I don't care if people can smoke in cars or not, because I don't smoke. And then there's all the smokers getting pissed off about it. But the bigger picture is like, this is another right that we should be able to have that's taken away. I mean, it's coming down where it's like tighter restrictions from the FCC. You know, people like this lady suing Rockstar over games, and Hillary Clinton, you know, I guarantee if this carries on with her, you know, it's like once an election's over, it's a dead topic.
Sure.
She'll never talk about it again. And I fucking hate that. Because you go and you fuck things up, you change laws just to get votes. And that's what it comes down to, is like, what's the next thing we can get a vote off of? And laws get changed and people get screwed. I mean, it's like some person comes out, you know, runs some polls in New Jersey, and 67% of people say they'd like to see smoking banned in cars. Well, here comes some legislator that puts that bill up, you know, to please 67% of the people. So come re-election time, you could say, yeah, I'm the one who proposed that bill. I'm the one who did this. I'm the one who did this. Just trying to pull in votes. He doesn't care.
Sure.
But people go for it. People go for it everywhere. And add slowly, little rights to do little things are changed, are pulled away, you know. And eventually you get to the place where you don't want to be. And everyone goes, well, why the hell can't I do that? It's like, well, you didn't pay attention for the last 5 years. You didn't care when they passed this bill, that bill, and that bill. But those 10 bills add up to you getting fucked over.
Sure.
So I just want to bring that up. Just, you know, people, I mean, you don't have to listen to what I say and whatever else. But just listen up to what's going on and pay attention and realize things in the bigger picture. Not, you know, that I don't live in New Jersey and I don't care about smoking. But realize that that's happening. And that means that someone's little right, which isn't a big deal, you know, is getting taken away. And it's a lot of these people that feel so insanely strong about, you know, saying bitch on NBC 8 o'clock at night, or doing this and write 10,000 letters, that, you know, those are the assholes that, you know, create problems. Where it's like, you look at other countries and you can show nudity on TV, you can swear, they have those video games and their children aren't corrupted. Those people grow up fine. Millions of people see nudity on TV and, you know, are upstanding model citizens of the world, you know?
Senator Clinton has long been...
I'm sorry for ranting like that, man. I just got going. Did I eat up 20 minutes there?
Don't apologize. She has long been an outspoken critic of sex and violence in the media in general. Now, there's something that's inherently
you
funny.
Know, maybe she should try and get some sex in her bedroom and she might be able to,
you know, I was about to
ease up off of that.
I was about to say, there's something inherently funny about Senator Clinton being a proponent of sex in the media. But that is a debate that has been raging for a while now. What effect does the media, television, video games, what effect does it have on children? And does it make them violent? And that's a debate that we could base the next two episodes off of if we really wanted to get into it. But the point is this. I have to question her motives. Really, you know, just coming out with this all of a sudden. It's like you said, does Hillary Clinton really give a shit that now I'm going to get fucking carded every time I'm out walking to Best Buy and buy a game?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what the fuck?
Mid-20s getting freaking carded to buy a goddamn PlayStation game. I mean,
yeah, exactly. You know, Adventures of Cookie and Cream.
Yeah,
come
it's,
on
a, it's a witch hunt. Seeing that little bit of cartoon sex. Excuse me, on Grand Theft Auto, it's not going to change any person's life. You know why? Because I turned out perfectly fine. You know, that could be disputed. But, you know, I've never committed a crime. I've never done anything like that. And I was playing Leisure Suit Larry when I was 11 years old. So,
right,
I mean,
we were both playing Mortal Kombat. Well,
yeah.
You had the Genesis version, so you're corrupted. I had the lame ass, sweaty combat Super Nintendo version. So, but, you know, that's a debate that's been raging for a while now. What effect does media have on children? And I can honestly say, and if, I really mean it now, honestly say that I have never committed a violent crime. I might be a multiple felon, according to the U.S. government's definition of the law. But I've never killed anyone. I've never ran anybody over my car. If we're not counting animals, I hope. I know there are some.
That's accidents happen, man.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Man. Okay.
It's okay.
You know, vehicular manslaughter and that stuff is not in my MO.
It's
it never will be. You know,
it's people can't understand why, you know, tragedies like Columbine happen and stuff like that, and it's not because of violence in video games or violence on TV
or even violence in music.
You know, I listen to the same bands. I've heard the music. You know, people used to say that if you listen to Black Sabbath, you worship Satan and stuff. No, you know, get the hell out of here. I mean, it's just people used to think that such statements were absurd, and now the general public has bought into that idea. I mean, dude, when I was like 8 years old, my father sat me down and we watched Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger. With big old guns and Jesse the Body Ventura in there.
That's
and stuff.
Another guy.
You know, and he said,
Jesse Ventura. And both of them have been governors of a state.
Yeah.
Both are, well, I wouldn't say both are former professional wrestlers. But, well, basically, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and as I was telling you about before, Leland Yee, the guy from California who proposed that bill, I believe he wanted to make it a felony to sell mature rated games to minors or something like that. I'm sketchy in the details. I actually just lost my article like a douchebag. But, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger signed that into law, or he approved that legislation or whatever. And I think it's something that's inherently funny about that. The man who is, you know, starred in the most violent movies I've ever seen and watched on TV while I was growing up.
Yep.
Signs that one in the law. But then again, it is California, and like Jersey, we don't care about them.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, that's the funny thing is, like, you can watch replays of, like, say, Predator at 1 p.m. on any station, you know, those stations like TBS and or whatever that play those movies, those 80s.
TNT.
Yeah, TNT, that type of stuff. And no one has a problem with that for some reason. You know what I mean? But when it's Grand Theft Auto, I mean, you're talking like, just using Predator as an example, I mean, they play that all the time. Here's Schwarzenegger with, you know, it's not, you can't even call it a hand cannon. I mean, he takes a gun off a goddamn tank. And goes wheeling around. He's chopping down, you know, forest with a 50 cal, you know, rotary gun. I mean, and nobody seems to care about it because it's Schwarzenegger in an 80s movie. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's funny because when I started first thinking about the censorship and the media due to violence, it was brought up. I started thinking about this again when I read a statement made by one of these legislators talking about, you know, incidents of police officers who say that they've had to respond to more crime, and more youths have said that they're just imitating Grand Theft Auto. Now, let me tell you something. If you've ever been arrested as a minor, okay, or if you have ever been accosted by an authority, let's say, you will say whatever you think you need to say to get you out of trouble.
That's a good point.
10 years ago, or maybe even longer now, you remember that kid that burnt his house down or burnt up somebody? He was playing with matches, and he said he saw that shit on Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Dude seen stuff on Jackass or whatever.
And all of a sudden, that shit had warning labels on it afterwards and disclaimers. What the fuck is that, really? And that's the point where it's come with this, you know? Yeah. I can go out there, run over somebody with my car, and say, well, you know, I was playing GTA for a long while. And
yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, you could say that. I mean, teenagers are not, teenagers are not stupid people, okay? They're not as intelligent as adults because they haven't matured enough or something like that. You got to be thinking that once this happens once, you walk into a room and you just ran a guy over or something with your car. You just, you know, killed somebody, and the cop is who's interrogating you is like, what made you do this, this and that, and whatever, and you just go violence and video games.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto.
And then your lawyer walks in and says, you know, oh, it was violence and video games, temporary insanity from playing Grand Theft Auto, you know, and now you're in a mental institute, you know, walking around picking flowers all day long, probably high on meds, as opposed to doing hard time.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, you know, someone can sue Rockstar.
Yeah, someone sues Rockstar.
And Take-Two.
You bought a game where you kill people. You run them over. You flat out walk up and just kill people. You could beat a guy to death with a stick. Okay? And you can, in fact, bang hookers and raise your life.
Yeah.
You just don't see anything. You hear the chick, the automobile you've stolen. All right, you're banging her in.
The drug dealers that you murdered, the drug dealers, their money and their drugs.
But when you see a little fake booby on there, now you bought that for your grandkid. Now you turn around, you know, and say now that he could do all that. That's fine with me, but because he saw a little fake booby, that was false advertising.
Well, you know, the thing is, in the PS2 version, they still have all their clothes on.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're just like dry humping each other.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. It's a complete witch hunt.
Well, I think I've said enough about that. Unless you want to knock Jersey a little more. That was cool.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
Did you have anything else?
Man, that's nothing gets me more fired up than talking about stuff like that. It really just it just drives me nuts, man.
It really, makes, you know, makes me free crazy. Free Liu Kang,
but you know it's all
and,
these
and
kids.
Free C.J. Anderson.
All these kids just claiming that's the reason, doing all these violent acts. I mean,
they'll do whatever it takes to get out of trouble, man.
I don't
pause a minute and think.
Is it? Let me ask you this question. Do you think, on the whole, kids are doing more violent acts today than they did 20 years ago?
I don't believe they have been. Well, you know, there's...
Or is just the media... Like, now every time someone goes missing, we hear about it for 3 days straight.
You know, that's another thing, too. It's... I had to do the study before about media influence in the Vietnam War, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And however you feel about that, and I'm not going to get into that at all here.
Yeah.
Let's just say this. The exposure that the Vietnamese public and maybe people living in other countries had of that conflict was very controlled, okay, very limited.
Yeah.
Versus the coverage you had over here of the war, where you see guys getting shot, you know, left and right, and, you know, 5-year-old kids coming out of a village that just got burnt down by napalm while you're eating a fucking TV dinner, you know.
Yeah.
It's a different level. Here, the media, Jesus Christ, the second a fucking pit bull gets out and maims a fucking little child out somewhere in Alabama, I fucking hear about it, you know. Some white girl in fucking Aruba gets sold into slavery, or killed one way or the other, and I gotta hear about that for months on end.
So you really think it's just the ease that you have to get information from the media and the ease that the media has to deliver it has combined into us just hearing about things more?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, think about it like this.
But there was never, like, school shootings before.
There were never school
shootings
before, but yeah, well, that's another thing. I just don't know. But think about this, man. 40 years ago in this country, you had fucking race riots breaking out all the time.
You know, that's true.
You had presidents being assassinated. You had presidential candidates getting shot.
You know, that's a good point, because it almost seems like that was a lifetime ago.
Exactly.
None of that has occurred in my life.
60 years before then, you had 40 million people get killed in a war that engulfed three continents on this planet.
Yeah.
Over a 6-year period. And 20 years before that, you had another 20, 30 million people get killed off in another 4-year war.
And then, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people die in 9/11. It's the biggest thing that's ever happened. Ever.
Sure. You were there.
I guess it's just the time. I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah. You remember the footage as well as I do. You saw the towers coming down. They replayed that shit over and over and over again for that 24 hours. That's all. If you think about it, really, what more was there to say about it? Some terrorists hijacked a bunch of fucking planes and crashed into buildings and killed a couple thousand people and caused all this damage and destruction and shit. What more is there to say about it, really? Of course, I have the luxury of hindsight that happening 3.5, almost 4 years ago now to say that. But if you're running a news site or a news station, you have this footage. What are you going to do with it? Just play that shit over and over again so everyone can see it. I obviously wasn't alive in 45 on August 6th or August 9th when the atomic bombs were dropped. But do you think that average Americans living out their lives had to hear on the fucking radio over and over again, oh, we just nuked Hiroshima.
Yeah.
We nuked Nagasaki over and over and over again. It's a different level of exposure, Mm-hmm. A murder happens out in fucking Oregon in the woods. You think that's the first time it happened when you logged on to fucking CNN.com? Fucking dude went crazy with a gun and shot up 9 people out in Illinois. Come on, man. People have been murdering each other since we all climbed down from the fucking trees and started flinging dung at each other that way. It's always been rough.
Yeah, I never thought about that. But even as much as I'm, skeptical about what the media shows me and I think about it, and I do. I weigh in things. I don't watch any news station. I don't read any news story without trying to figure out what the angle is, And it just seems like seeing it, all this stuff so much, and that it just sort of makes you think, like, this shit just didn't happen before, shootings, I really don't think the school shootings happened, but you're like, why the fuck would school shootings happen when 30 years ago we're having race riots?
The postal office shootings in the 80s, and look at the fucking serial killers that were around in the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s. Come on, how many people did Ted Bundy kill,
Yeah, there hasn't been a interesting serial killer story in a long time.
Yeah, besides that dude out in, where is it? One of those big-ass states. I can't think of the name now. It's going to bother me for the rest of the... Well, that dude that was that sex offender and he killed those couple kids.
I don't know.
It happened back in May or whatever.
Yeah, but he wasn't racking up like 30, 40 bodies.
So. Yeah, exactly. but it's overexposure. Just kind of, and ultimately you get jaded,
Yeah.
And then you can say, oh, what the fuck? another man down.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Anyway, so you got anything else to talk about?
No, that's it, really. Besides the porn tax.
Oh, the porn tax.
Yeah, this was a short news item. Senator Tom Carper from Delaware is proposing a 25% tax on the purchase of pornographic material online. The collected tax money would go to fund to help police prosecute online child pornographers. The provision is part of the Internet Safety and Child Protection Act. You know how I plan on protecting my children in the future from that material?
What's that?
It's called the fucking shutdown switch on a computer in the administrative login field.
Blocking sites.
Much like the on-off switch, which used to come free of charge on TVs, instead of the fucking V-chip.
Yeah, instead of, everyone not being able to see content because one lady has a problem with that.
Pay a fucking 25% tax
That's absurd. I'm sorry. It's absurd. I can understand, you know, look, I mean, their whole, I can't imagine them having huge task force to fight this stuff. I mean, it's probably not budgeted out. I mean, how many people do you think the government has doing it? 20, 30,
we should call
40?
John Grisham.
Yeah.
He probably knows.
I mean, they probably have maybe a team of 50 people, you know? I mean, that's, you know, still an expensive budget and stuff. I mean, they probably have all this cool hardware to play with and big, huge screens on the wall that
yeah,
are just
that's
monitoring
pretty cool,
traffic.
Actually.
They don't understand what it means. And
you can be one of those dudes that looks at porn sites all day and get paid to do that.
It'd be kind of cool. One of those dudes that, you know, works for those companies that sell those lists you throw on firewalls and stuff of websites to block that you just have to constantly just keep trying to find new sites to add to it.
FBIL Radio.
Like FBIL Radio.
Totally, yeah. Hey, there's a freebie for you.
So, yeah, no, that would be a pretty good job. I mean...
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
It's, I mean, I guess the virtual equivalent of working in a strip club, though. I mean...
Yeah.
Get desensitized to it all, and doesn't even really matter anymore. But for a couple of weeks, it'd be pretty sweet anyway.
Yeah, and to get paid.
And to get paid. Get
to
paid
do what I do,
sweet.
You know.
Yeah.
All day long anyway, for free. All right, well, that's it on my side. What you got?
Windows activation has been cracked again.
Oh, yes. That's right.
So.
You want to do the honors with that one, man?
No, we're not getting into any details. They can find it out there, but we're just saying Windows activation has been cracked again.
You know, I never
TFA.
I thought we wanted to get off the Windows platform.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'll never be off the Windows platform, you know? I really won't. It's impossible. But, hopefully, get a new desktop and stuff.
Yeah,
still working
hopefully
on it.
I will too in November when the Xbox 360 comes out. With my fucking customizable faceplate. Dude, Jay Allard and Ballmer, those are like the coolest dudes ever. You ever notice how all the Microsoft...
Dude, that faceplate is so stupid, man. Come on. Have a little more respect for your own product.
You know, I was thinking about the new PlayStation. We could maybe use that as like a poor man's load balancer, man. It's got two fucking ports on there.
Hey, hopefully someone will port an asterisk to that thing or something.
You know it's going to happen. But
yeah.
The 360, dude, you know, I own an Xbox, and I play some Xbox games, but it seems to me like the Xbox has one first-person shooter that was kind of decent, and all the rest are cheap-ass PC ports. There's Ninja Gaiden. That's
that
a game, sweet
game. That game is fucking elite.
Yeah, it is elite, but, you know, beyond that, man, it's like a big-ass system that takes up a lot of space in my living room.
Don't worry, man. You'll have a whole new system to about
it's
soon.
It's concave, according to Jay Allard. Have you ever notice all the Microsoft executives? They look like penises. Like Ballmer, Jay Allard, and Gates.
Holy shit, man.
They do.
That's funny.
Look at them next time.
I'll be
so it comes to my mind, Ballmer, Steve... Dick Wavier's Ballmer or Jay Allard. All right,
now you're just rant. All right, that's enough for tonight. We're done. All right. That was... Man, you went too far tonight. Anyway, all right, everybody. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another show.
Maybe.
Drop us an email, radio@fbillradio.com. We each got our own email addresses.
Yeah,
if you want to just address
it
to one of us.
Thunderbird, like, working again.
You're such a noob.
Yeah, I know.
we got a voicemail box for you guys to call. It's 202-460-7262. All this information, the show, the McKinnon interview, whatever else.
How to take left turns in Jersey.
How to take left turns in Jersey. Yeah, everything is up on the website, fbillradio.com. All for free. because we're special like that.
Yeah, and buy a fucking shirt so we can donate a dollar to the EFF.
Yeah, we still got that going on. Hopefully a couple more shirts will be put up there.
And you donate like $12 to the Cafe Express place, right?
Cafe Press, yeah. But fuck it, that's the way it's got to be for right now until I find out a good place to get some shirts made. And so I guess that's it.
All right, thanks for listening to episode 4 of Malice Factor. And that's Mr. White.
Yes, yes I am. And on the way out tonight, we've got the sultry, wonderful sounds of the Wu-Tang Clan. Later.
They initially offered me a deal back in 2002, and it was no deal.
Or not the sounds of the Wu-Tang Clan, but the McKinnon interview again. So let's try that one more time.
And I'm a noob.
Word up. Look out for the cops, though. Cash, fool. Word up. 2 for 5's over here, baby. Word up. 2 for 5's. Niggas got garbage down the way. Word up.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream it.
Yeah. Check this old fly shit out. Word up.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream it. The money.
Here we go. Check this shit. Yo. I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job. At second hands, moms bounced on old man. So then we moved to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the go-to. Low goose, only way I began to G-York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one. Pulling out gas for fun. But it was just a dream for the team who was a fiend. Started smoking rules at 16. And running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes. Making my way on fire skates. No question, I was feed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question, I would flow off and try to get the dough off. Sticking up white boys on ball boards. My life got no better. Same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route. So I got with a sick ass click and went all out. Catching keys from cross seas. Rolling in MPVs every week. We made 40 G's. Yo, nigga, respect my nigga to Tech Notch.
A man with a dream with plans to make cream, which fail. I went to jail at the age of 15, a young buck selling drugs and such, who never had much, trying to get a clutch on what I could not. Court played me short, now I face incarceration, pacing, throwing up states, my destination. Handcuffed in back of a bus, 40 of us. Life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. But as the world turned, I learned life was hell. Living in the world, no different from a cell. Every day I skate from Jake's, giving chase, selling bass. Smoking bones in the stick.